Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Red Men Weekly podcast. I'm Steve Hall, bringing you the best clips from our Red Men Plus shows from the last week, and it's going to be pretty transfer heavy, just to let you guys know. That's what we all want to do at this time of year. Forget the footy, forget Liverpool being rubbish or have been rubbish. We've boxed it off. Let's sign some players so that the next year they are not rubbish and we're still talking about Liverpool winning trophies and getting to finals. So yeah, just to let you know, all these clips are available in their full shows over on RedMenPlus.com, both in video and podcast forms, if you want to come over and check us out over there. The first clip this week comes from the Bias Football podcast. It was me, it was Paul, it was Chloe, and it was Dan, and we'd done our alternative Premier League award. Yeah, we had a little break from talking about Liverpool to have a look around the league. We had loads of different fun and unique categories in our award show, and here is one of those.
Bust up of the season is our first award. Let's experiment with the. Let's all say it at the same time. Okay. I don't know how this is going to be worth. It's not scripted. This we might
great
jettison this.
It. Shall we just go bang 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 dead quick?
No. I want to see how this works.
Okay.
Horrendously. Is the
well, hey, don't listen. Don't fucking try these things.
Okay.
And then we make it.
Sorry,
not,
audio.
Your
listening.
Scientific approach is not. That's not the scientific approach. Like, I mean, so we're going to test it, and then we're going to look at the results. And then we're going to determine what our following actions are. So, bust up of the season, on three, one, two, two. Yeah.
The fact that that's this season is ludicrous in itself. By the way,
what else was in the mix? I struggled to think
Mitrovic
of any others.
Mitrovic was the other one because I just enjoyed him bodying a ref.
I nearly had Andy Robbo versus linesman's elbow.
Yes,
was in there for me as well.
Jürgen Klopp celebrating in front of the fourth official and pulling his hammy.
Yeah, there was almost one with an Everton fan and Dominic Solanke yesterday. They could have got involved, but yeah,
Conte Tuchel.
Yeah.
All time Premier League.
What
moment.
A fucking great moment. Back when we thought the season was just going to be a normal season. Tuchel and Conte, two of the world's best managers, going to be duking it out for a top four place. Both clubs. Imagine that point being like a Chelsea or a Spurs fan and trying to think about how your season's going to go down.
With Ryan Mason and Frank Lampard end of the season in charge.
That is mad. That is genuinely insane.
That was so good. That
handbags.
Is,
it's the faces. It's the Conte's face. Like,
mate, it's so petty. Like, it's so like they're professional millionaire football managers and they're just holding hands while they argue with each other. It was poetic. Brilliant.
Just a glorious moment of football. Like the tight grip, the not letting go, the refusing to back down for no reason whatsoever.
Who'd you back in a fight?
Conte.
Oh, I think Tuchel, you know.
I think Tuchel. He's rangy. He's rangy.
He's a lanky fella. He's got a bit of John Jones about him.
Imagine Tuchel just whipped his wig off as well. Conte would lose his mind.
And held it above his reach.
Like, holding them off like Scrappy
Doo. Yeah, could do, yeah. Hold him back.
Conte.
Yeah, I'd go Conte, yeah.
Conte would kill him.
Yeah, I agree.
Thomas Tuchel's got murderous qualities.
Look, I think that if he
strangled mice.
You could snap his leg if you two-footed him.
At some point in his life, Thomas Tuchel strangled a mouse. I'm telling you now, he's a murderer. He's weird.
Listen.
Yeah, I agree.
I think if you gave Tuchel time and an opportunity, Conte would end up like a dot of blood on a you know, a little glass sheet, you know what I mean, like Dexter. He's the kind of person who would take someone in the night and slip them some drugs and then carve them up on a table somewhere. But if you just were like a little pugilist, scrap. Little scrap,
yeah,
Conte would rip him apart.
Okay. I think we all agreed on that one then. Was it unanimous?
Yeah.
Your thing kind of works.
Good stuff, Dan.
Wait till we don't all say the same thing.
I don't think we're going to get that. I think we will move on from that because I don't. We've peaked there. There's no way it's going to. Actually, you know what?
No, don't. Don't do it.
Go along the line.
Stupidest sacking.
I can go first. Yeah.
On three.
Okay.
Oh, no, because I've got two.
One, two, three.
Tuchel. No, I won't go in Potter.
Potter?
Get sacking him.
Sacking
Tuchel,
for Chelsea.
Tuchel, I kind of forgot that was the season.
I was going to say Potter, and then I went, oh, no, wait.
You think sacking Potter was stupid?
Yeah, because he brought in Frank Lampard. Not because that's coming down.
No.
Him,
no, mate.
But because
sacking Thomas Tuchel for Graham Potter
is
insane.
To then sack Graham Potter, which is part of the Potter it's thing annoying. Can't happen if you just keep Tuchel.
And you know what? Second
on
this
one,
Antonio, my other one, yeah. Brendan Rodgers, because they brought in Dean Smith. I was thinking of the knock-on effects. Crap.
Also, Antonio Conte getting sacked. Now I get it because he was desperate to be sacked.
Yeah.
But it was mad because bringing Conte in is like buying a dog and then moaning that it barks.
I'm sorry. Can we talk about how I remembered enough that Tuchel was manager of Chelsea to put him in the bus stop of the season? And then he's actually managing to then be sacked.
Are you going to change your mind?
Yeah, it's 100% Tuchel.
It's just Thomas Tuchel.
He might win every award, Thomas. Yeah, Thomas Clean, he's like Titanic at the Oscars. He's just
absolutely.
Robbie Williams, like nine Brits.
Yeah.
We should do them individually because I'm not going to lie to you guys.
Did you need a little moment to think about that one a little bit more before?
I like the fact that you remembered that he was in the season, but then forgot he'd been sacked.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
mate, Todd Bowley sacking Tuchel's. Is that insane? It's stupid. That was a time where Todd Bowley wanted to do everything, wasn't it? Chelsea, like
coming to the end of that spell, like you know, it was a hilarious summer of hearing all the little rumours about how, like, he thought he'd signed Matthias De Ligt, was it? Because he'd agreed a fee and just presumed that you bought their contract the second you agreed the fee with the club. And then nothing happened. So he moved to... He goes to Bayern in the end?
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah. And Chelsea weren't great under Tuchel at the start of the season, but...
He won the European Cup with them 2 years ago.
And
the fans loved them as well.
And were they reigning world champions as well, actually, at that point? You know what I mean? Yeah.
And also, like I say... The fact that I always think if you're going to sack a manager, brother, who's next? It was my argument. I thought Liverpool were right not to sack Brendan Rodgers until Jürgen and Carlo Ancelotti come available. Because who was you going to get? We went down the route of sacking a manager, and that's how we ended up with Roy Hodgson. Chelsea just sacked him Graham Potter will have five interviews, and they all interviewed for it. Yeah, mad, absolutely mad. And he's just won the Bundesliga.
He's a very good manager. I mean, the Bayern thing, he's a very good manager. He's one of the best around, basically.
He's better than Graham Potter.
Much better.
Also, back to the Graham Potter thing. I mean, it is a bit stupid that they sacked him after, you know, creating this entire project for him to bring in Frank Lampard.
You know what? You know what?
But
to make the point on it, in terms of what's stupid, it's stupid sacking a European Cup with a manager and then replacing them with the guy from Brighton to say that. But in terms of, the stupidest thing to do is sacking Graham Potter was...
He also got to a semi-final.
Stupid.
Of the Champions League and then didn't let him.
I don't agree.
I think you're right to sack him. He's useless, but...
Yeah. No, I don't think he's... I actually still think he's a good manager. I just think Chelsea was too soon for him. I've said it for day one.
But for Frank Lampard to just... I think he could have done better than Frank Lampard.
He's an abysmal person.
Well,
we'll cross that bridge.
Okay.
The next award. Stupidest appointment.
See, I'm not picking Lampard here.
I think I've got another option instead of Lampard.
Okay, I don't want any context. We'll discuss it. We'll go down the line. Dan, who's the stupidest appointment of the season?
I've gone Graham Potter.
Okay.
Oh. Javi Garcia for Leeds.
Okay.
Javi Garcia for Leeds.
Wow.
Gracias.
Yes.
Gracias.
Javi
Garcia. Is he going to be are we looking at it? Thank you.
Javi Garcia. There you go.
Oh. Yeah.
That was mad. Potter, at least with Potter, he'd had some recent success.
No, it wasn't good enough.
No, I agree, I agree.
Too short to Potter. What's
no,
going on?
No, and I'm with you. I don't think it was a good hire, but Javi Gracia has been shite.
Lovely.
But he relegated Watford.
Leeds sacked Marsh and brought him
Can I remind you all as well that Chelsea went from European Cup winning manager Thomas Tuchel to...
Potter.
Promising, up-and-coming, exciting new manager from Brighton in Graham Potter, and then appointed the guy who basically got Everton into another relegation fight.
My thing on the Lampard thing was he was never the manager. He was just a caretaker. They've got them now. They've got the manager they wanted. They just the reason that he's got Frank Lampard was to wait for Pochettino.
Yeah, but you might as well. In that again, this is hindsight thing. They might as well have just let the team fucking manage itself.
That's what happened.
No, but it's he's not. He's turned up. He's gone into dugouts. He's having to do all these press conferences.
He's
de facto being the manager. Whatever. But they did. Whether we think this or whatever, they hired Frank Lampard, albeit as an interim manager. You can't say interim manager without the word manager. Mm. He's been Chelsea's manager for this final 12 years of the season or whatever.
It meant nothing.
To be fair, I put either Frank Lampard or Javi Garcia.
Gracia.
It's not Garcia, it's GR.
Okay. Either way, he was in charge of Leeds for 12
Sorry. You can't. This isn't like fake news or whatever. That's his name, Chloe. Yeah.
It's like going, Chloe Blomax. No, actually, it's whatever.
We've made past the point. But either way, he was in charge of Leeds for like 12 games, hardly won a game. He was the second sacking for Leeds manager. Mm. And then he went and brought in Big Sam.
Well, I got Sam as a candidate for this.
By that point, it was fucked. But again. They'd have been better bringing Aldice in when they got brought back.
He's forgot his hose. That's the issue there. I think
if they either signed Aldice when they signed Gracia, they might have stayed there.
Well, that's the point on it is, again, stupid appointments. What are you doing?
Takes too long.
What's he meant to... What's
four games to go.
Fucking madness.
Who's winning this then? There's a lot of them.
It's 2-1.
You were both in Gracia,
didn't you? Okay, well, I'm happy to concede that. Yeah. You know,
Frank Lampard is up there, though.
I thought... Them hiring an interim manager was clever, Chelsea, in hindsight, because they got the manager they want now.
But why they could have just left it with some? They literally could have let the kit man do it.
They tried to do that.
Bruno did it
for the game.
Yeah,
but it was us, was it not?
Yeah, that terrible game of football. That game might not have happened. I don't know. Maybe a thing.
Well, that was fucking stupid because you've just sacked the guy and left his assistant manager in position and basically haven't they? Which is exactly what Tottenham did as well.
That's up there as well. Fucking hell! Oh, that might win
because they were in contention for stuff, weren't they? Spurs when that happened. So that's more.
But again,
because
that was a bad one.
They actually had a little good run of form when Conte was ill, wasn't he? He wasn't as line. They had a couple of good results, and they obviously must have thought, "Oh, Stellini will be, can do the business." Mm-hmm. It's not even this season, of course, but that Tottenham did this with Mourinho, didn't he? When they let Ryan Mason take the League Cup final, they had the chance of winning ridiculous. A piece of silverware, which could have changed the destiny of that football club. Just let Mourinho have it,
and then sack him.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of options. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm comfortable with Gracia, though.
I just don't care. Yeah, my issue with Gracia, who gives a fuck about
Leeds do because they're fucking relegated.
No, I know, true, but like
me because they could have stayed up if they would have got Big Sam earlier.
Gracia is, by all accounts, an all right manager, isn't he?
That's the point. He'd been shit everywhere he'd been. Mate, they were bad Leeds. They were letting sevens in and everything. They were fucking diabolical.
Okay, sounds yeah.
He's been a joke. Yeah, he's winning it for me.
Okay, fine. If you disagree, let us know.
That was a lot of fun, that show, by the way, really. Some good categories, some fun ones as well. So, yeah, do go back and check it out if you haven't already. Moving on then, Dan Clubb spoke to Chris Bascom for our Expert/Transfer Insight show. Chris has been a Merseyside reporter for such a long time, I think it's a quarter of a decade or something. He knows what he's talking about. And, yeah, Dan and Chris had a big old chat about Liverpool's transfer strategy and their window. And here is a clip from that very chat.
Yeah, we're here to talk about Liverpool and the upcoming transfer window. Obviously, the season's just finished. Not the season we all hoped and dreamed it would be for the Reds, I think it's fair to say. And it's left a lot of question marks and a lot of stuff to solve, I guess, over the summer. Transfers are going to be in the eye more than ever, I think it's fair to say, this time around. I want to speak to you about what the Reds could possibly be doing in terms of incomings and outgoings. And I want to start with outgoings because one of the main talking points actually over the last few days has suddenly become Fabio Carvalho. Jurgen Klopp has sung his praises recently in press conferences and stuff and said he's really impressed him in training, etc., etc. Obviously, he was only signed sort of 12 months ago after trying to get him in the January window previously. How do you see his future now? Because he hasn't played loads of football. early on in the season, he gets that winner against Newcastle, scores against Man City, and then kind of gets taken away. Where do you see his future lying?
Well, I mean, I think the manager sort of made it clear, really, what the immediate plan would be, which would be get him back in pre-season, have a look at him the same as every other player, and then wait and see what materialised in terms of probably a loan move or any offers that came in. I think he's been a bit unlucky, really. I think you rewind 12 months when he was joining the club, he probably thought he was joining this like seamless transition, really, you know, and he's going to be introduced into this winning machine, and obviously it didn't quite work out like that. And then by the time, you know, the manager was looking to change things a little in midfield, he clearly didn't want to put trust in too many young players and give them that kind of responsibility, and he sort of fell down the pecking order. But I think he'd probably be encouraged by the manager's words at the last press conference. And I think, like a lot of players, really, I mean, I kind of think that this time of the year you kind of have a kind of period where everything's very fluid, you know. I mean, I don't think you can say in concrete, okay, he's going to go, he's going to stay. I think a lot will depend on the kind of offers that materialise. Every indication from the manager that if he was going to let Carvalho leave, it'd be only on a loan for a season. But, you know, there'd be a lot of factors that would come into that, such as the nature of any offer if it did come in and what the lad himself wanted to do and whether he saw himself, you know, moving his career on somewhere else. Only he would be able to answer that. But, I think to sort of say black and white, okay, you know, because he had a tricky start, that's going to be the end of him at Liverpool. We're very premature. And equally, it may well be that his immediate future is served by getting a bit more first-team experience, whether it be a Premier League club or elsewhere abroad or somewhere like that. And I don't think we'll know that really until pre-season.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like you say, he really did shine for Fulham in the Championship. He was a major part of their promotion campaign. And I think we all got excited about the prospect of it. Because like I say, we just missed out on him in the transfer deadline day. And you signed this young kid, really exciting proposition. And then, like I say, he has a decent start to the Liverpool career and then completely gets taken away from it. And you mentioned the words pecking order there. And that's the interesting thing for me, because he's seen Harvey Elliott probably above him in the pecking order, and indeed Curtis Jones, especially in recent weeks. So you do start to wonder where he sees his own future. And four lads who we know will definitely believe in the football club, or five if you include Artemelo, are obviously Roberto Firmino, James Milner, Naby Keita and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. So we are going to see major changes this season in the Anfield squad. Do you think those changes and the amount of work that needs to be done will sort of lend itself to possibly keeping hold of some players? And now, I want to bring Joel Matip into the equation for this, because he's into the final 12 months of his contract. There were some question marks earlier on this year whether we might look to potentially cash in on Joel Matip. Now, with so much work to do, do you envisage that Liverpool will just keep hold of people like him?
Well, I think Joel Matip's in a situation, same situation as Naby Keita and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain were in this time last year, where when you've got a year left on your deal, you know, there are so many different factors to take in. I mean, from a club's perspective, if they've not offered somebody a new deal, they're clearly receptive to any offers that might come in, because if someone's got a year left, you're going to lose, you know, an asset who's worth something this summer that he'll have no value at all in the transfer window next summer.
Yeah.
But then the player himself will be thinking, well, you know, I've got a contract here, I've got a year left. Well, why would I be looking necessarily around for anything else? Because you know, it's not necessarily in Joel Matip's interest to sort of start looking around and thinking, okay, you know, where's better than Liverpool at this particular moment? I'm sure if something very attractive emerged, you'd probably think about it. But the question I get really is that Matip will just see his contract out. Again, I think Klopp's got a bit of an attitude to things where really he wants to know by the time they get to that real key end part of pre-season what his squad is going to be for the year, and once he's settled on that pretty much becomes it. So this kind of little period now between the players going back to pre-season will probably when the players themselves will be sort of trying to figure out what they want. But I would be quite surprised if Joel Matip left, really, because they can't just get rid of all the centre backs. I mean, I think that there's an expectation that Liverpool will sign another defender, but you know, a guy like Joel Matip with his experience for a year, with that final year, would probably be still quite useful to have around. So again, I'm not entirely sure it's a given that just because he's got a year on his deal, he will leave, because there'd be many decision makers in that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting one, because one thing Liverpool do need to get better at, I believe, is selling players when they're coming towards the end of the contract. Now, Matip obviously does fall into that category, and we've probably missed the boat on Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain, and indeed Gini Wijnaldum previously. They're sort of big-name players who've all left the club for free in recent years. But to the point, I make you right in terms of there's so much needs doing at Liverpool. Keeping someone of Joel Matip's quality and experience around would make a lot of sense. And he's moved on a free before, obviously he arrived at Liverpool for free, so he's not adverse to that.
Well, I mean, this is clearly a policy the club have got. Well, I think there's been a very different attitude towards contracts. I mean, like, it's not too long ago it used to be if a player was within 2 years of his deal, they were doing almost this sense of panic. You've got to give him a deal or you've got to sell him. And things have changed a lot. You know, as you mentioned, Wijnaldum, obviously, and Ray Chan was there again. And there's been almost a kind of, you know, there's kind of always been a respectful kind of relationship, kind of almost between player and club, in a way. I don't think there was. There always having to be this kind of aggro if a player was going into his final years, like, well, you know, what's going on? Why haven't they given him the... Things have changed, you know, and I do feel as though there's no inevitability now that just because the player's coming towards the end of his deal that he will be, he certainly won't be forced out of the club. I mean, this was a subject that was raised a year ago with Keita and Oxlade, like,
yeah.
Perhaps Klopp's not, you know, he's too loyal. He should be ostracising them. He should be sending them to train with the kids and forcing off the club. It's just not the way he works. I don't think it's ever going to be the way he works. And you have to sort of separate what the fan out there who just wants to see these players as commodities feel and a manager who clearly sees these guys as human beings feels about it. So, yeah, you know, if you sat there, you know, working out who's going to come and who's going to go, it's all very simple. You know, you get rid of all the players you don't think are good enough and who aren't playing, and you keep all the ones and you bring in the load in. But the manager doesn't quite see it that way. And I think this idea of players signing deals and them just seeing those deals out will probably just continue during this era, because Klopp doesn't want to discard play. He sees. He said something very interesting very early on in his Liverpool reign, which I think really he's never really veered away from, is that he sees, forget how long a contract is, whether it's a 2 year deal, a 3 year deal, a 5 year deal. He sees the relationship between him and his players as 1 year initially.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
you know, it starts in July with the preseason. It continues with that. And they have this arrangement that they're not going to mess around, focused on this year, and then, you know, at the end of that year, which is this period now, perhaps things get revisited a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But so he sees it very much. So whether or not you've got a year left on your deal doesn't really matter. And we've seen that Firmino, you know, as you said, we've mentioned all the other players.
Mm.
And I just don't see Klopp as somebody who just looks at players, oh, you've only got a year left, you haven't signed, you haven't committed, I don't want you anymore. He just doesn't work like that.
No, it certainly has borne out that way, hasn't it? You mentioned that we both mentioned a handful of players there. You could throw Divock Origi into that mix as well. Another one who walked away for nothing, having been an incredible servant to the club. And Joel Matip may well fall into that category, and it does look increasingly likely that he will do. Two more players that I want to group together who appear to me to be more cut and dried, but I've said this about at least one of them for about the past four transfer windows. Nat Phillips and Reece Williams, they come together in so many senses, and in this conversation they do as well. For me, it feels like maybe less so Reece Williams because of the age profile of him, but for me it feels like surely the time has come for one, if not both of those two, to move on.
Well, I'd agree with you. I think, you know, you can only sort of stay, you know, as a backup for so long, and but I think the reason they haven't moved on already is simply the bids have not reflected Liverpool's valuation of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously, yeah, I think they both got new deals after their contribution a couple of years back. So it comes a point where who out there is prepared to match their current contract and give them something attractive to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does become a little bit strange when players who clearly are not going to be part of the first team picture do just linger around a little bit. And but again, you know, I'm not privy to any offers they have been made by other clubs and how attractive those clubs were and where they see themselves and what level. But certainly somebody like Nat Phillips, I think Liverpool would have sold him last year if a bid of around 10 million had come through. Now, whether or not it was too high valuation, you know, people can make their own mind up on that.
Yeah.
But simply being in the business is giving the player away. But I'm sure if good offers came in for those two, Liverpool would be listening to them. But again, whether the players want to move on, it's up to them.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Thanks very much to Dan and for Chris. We're going to stick with Dan once again for another transfer insight, because on the day that it was reported that Liverpool were interested in Borussia Mönchengladbach's Manu Kone, Dan got straight on the phone to Toby Altschaffel. Here's the Sports Bild chief reporter who actually broke the story. Dan wanted to go straight to the heart of the action to get it straight from the horse's mouth, and he did just that. Here is a clip from Dan chatting to Toby Altschaffel.
Hello everybody, welcome to Redmen TV and your latest edition of the Transfer Insight Show. My name's Dan Clubb, I will be your host as ever, and I'm delighted to say I am joined by the chief sport reporter from the very reputable Sport Bild in Germany, Toby Altschaffel. Toby, how are you doing? You good?
I'm very good, and your pronunciation of my name becomes better and better every time. It's just perfect.
I was going to ask you if it got better. All morning, I've been busy, but I've been thinking about that all morning. It's been in the back of my mind. I'm glad it's better. I appreciate that. So we're here to talk about Borussia Mönchengladbach midfielder Manu Kone, of course, because you yourself broke the news that has spread far and wide that Liverpool are interested in the 22-year-old Frenchman. So I guess the best place to start is tell us what you know so far.
Well, Liverpool is very interested in Manu Kone. I mean, he's not the rising star of Bundesliga, or he's not like Jude Bellingham or something like that. But he's a very good, very strong player, a midfielder, of course. And I think there were talks already between Liverpool and the side of Kone. And well, it's not like the biggest transfer that it will take weeks and weeks or months because it's not 100 million. It's only 30, 40 maybe. So I think it could happen.
Yeah, well, I certainly hope so, because Liverpool need midfielders. Liverpool need midfielders badly. And in terms of the fee you mentioned there, that would make a lot of sense for Liverpool, because we need a few. And we're not going to all be signing £100 million players. That's why we back away from the Jude Bellingham deal, of course, because of the money. I wanted to ask you something on this, because you described the interest as being big from Liverpool. Now, is it a coincidence that Liverpool appoint Jörg Schmadtke, a man who knows the Bundesliga brilliantly well, has spent all his time in the Bundesliga? Is it a coincidence that Liverpool appoint him and hours later are interested in the Bundesliga midfielder?
Well, I don't think so, to be honest. But on the other hand, you know, Jürgen Klopp is looking at the Bundesliga all the time. So he was, for example, into Ryan Gravenberch. I think we talked about him last time before Jörg Schmadtke came. And Gravenberch is also not the big player of this season. He didn't play a lot, but Klopp knew his potential. Mm-hmm. And now Klopp knows the potential of Kone and also Schmadtke, of course, because Schmadtke knows all the players from Bundesliga. And as I said, Kone was not playing all the time on the highest level. But for example, when Mönchengladbach won against Bayern Munich 5-0 in the German Cup, he was exceptional. He was one of the best players. And also when Gladbach won in Munich 2-1, he played very well. Mm-hmm. So when needs to be the highest level, he can show the highest level. And that's why I think it could be a good solution for Liverpool, because in Mönchengladbach, they are just average in Bundesliga. They had a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. There was like a French connection where he was only with the French guys, and he was not always in the training on the highest level, etc. And maybe in Liverpool, he can develop really well.
Yeah, hopefully. And it's funny you mentioned those two Bayern Munich games. I've seen those games mentioned so much today since the Kone links came out. Liverpool, everyone's, or Liverpool fans are just talking about those two Bayern Munich games where he really shone and expressed himself in. You mentioned there that he's had problems at Mönchengladbach in terms of, I suppose, settling in and not quite, you know, flourishing, if you like, and playing to the best of his ability. He's under contract there at the moment, I believe, until 2025. But you mentioned in your report that Mönchengladbach need quick income, essentially, and it's already obvious that he will leave this summer. Do you believe that is definitely going to be the case?
I think so, because Gladbach has a lot of problems. I think they have to manage to get a completely new team, because they really did not do good in the last season. And so the Kone money could like give them some possibilities to buy some new players. And mm-hmm. I think they know that it makes sense for them to sell him in this summer, yes.
Okay, and on the fee, you've already mentioned a couple of possible figures in terms of the 30, 35 million mark. Is there interest from elsewhere in Kone?
Euro.
Yeah, sorry. Euro, I must apologise, yeah. Is there interest elsewhere in him? Are Liverpool the main in front of the queue right now, or is there other Premier League interest? I mean, Tottenham have been linked in the past. Is anyone else keen?
I think Chelsea was sometimes linked with Kone, and also PSG, but I think Liverpool, they are now on the top of the race.
Really, really insightful, that one. Thanks so much to Dan for sorting that one out, and thanks for Toby to giving up his time in a very, very busy day for him. He basically said Bayern Munich have gone mental and he's really, really busy, and but he still had time to speak to us about Manu Kone, which is great. Thanks so much to him. Right then, let's move on. It's Jano Inside Time. I had Neil Jones in and we had a big old chat about loads of things, including Kone, including Mount, Carvalho, Van der Ven, McAllister, and loads more. One of those loads more was actually Kefren Turam. So he was linked with a move to Liverpool by Lequipe. And I asked Neil for his thoughts on that potential transfer. Right then, let's move on. Kefren Turam then. So this came from Lequipe. I brought it up here via the Daily Mail because my French is appalling. I know I could have used you, and all your French isn't bad, Neil, but I've had to go the old-fashioned English route. Liverpool open negotiations over a deal for Nice's £52 million talent, Kefren Turam, with the Frenchman keen to develop under Jurgen Klopp's guidance. Liverpool are reportedly keen to sign him. Klopp overhauling his midfield, yada, yada, yada. Nice reportedly set a fee of £52 million for the Frenchman. So yeah, this came from the Keep the other day. I know Kefren Turam is someone we spoke about in the past, and as well, I know you know a bit more about him. Again, this one's come from France. It's come from Lequipe. What are your initial thoughts, reaction to this story when you first saw it?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't tie in with all the Schmadke, the Schmadke conspiracy, does it? Or the Schmadke sort of pulling the threads of that's why he's been appointed. No. But in terms of the type of player and the sort of the age of the player, the price is a little bit higher, obviously, than Kone, but I think he's seems like a very interesting player. 6'4".
He's massive.
Yeah, 6'4" and a footballer with it, you know, not just a muscle man, is he? You know, unbelievable stock. I mean, I was reading a bit about him this week, and he was talking about his games in the back garden when he was growing up in Spain and Italy with, you know, obviously they've got a forward in the family. The dad's obviously a great defender, and they've got him. So, yeah, I think it's weird where it got quite competitive, and I can well imagine. Yeah. He's obviously someone whose career is going on the up and up. He seems interesting to me in the sense that it's not the same, is it? If you look at these two players, maybe Kone a little bit more, but if you were saying that Liverpool were after Mason Mount, which they were, and they can't get Mason Mount, to go from Mason Mount to Manu Kone and Kefren Turam feels like a bit of a change of angle, at least, if not a complete about turn. You know, they're not the same type of player. They're not the same type of profile. So I think that would be interesting to see whether Liverpool have just sort of turned on the heels and said, you know what, you know, let's just say, for example, for argument's sake, we'll back Curtis Jones to be the Mason Mount type player, we'll go and get a different type of player that we don't have, or you know, sort of we'll focus on another area. That would be interesting. But if you look at physically, and he's played a lot of games, you know, he came into the Monaco side very young in the Champions League when I think he was 17, got a move, surprised a few people, I think, by moving to Nice. And then he's become a regular there and he's played a lot of football, which is good for his age and for the type of deal that Liverpool need to be doing this summer. So I think it's one to keep an eye on. I mean, what I've been told is that he's one who's definitely admired by Liverpool, but I wouldn't be 100% sure that they'll go in for him this summer. It might depend on who else wants to sign. It might depend on sort of, as I say, what turns out with some other targets. But definitely a player that Liverpool like and would. I would keep an eye on the links, definitely.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. Like I say, we've spoken about this numerous times, and sometimes Liverpool can be quite unpredictable in the market, but sometimes they can actually be quite predictable as well. And I always say, Liverpool try and sign the players before they look like they're about to take off. Mm. Like he is playing regularly. He's just been, you know, he's just been capped by France.
Yeah,
he's 22. Yeah, he's 22. It feels like he's about to. And Liverpool, rather, you know, we've always said before that with Thiago might be the only world class player Liverpool signed. They always try and get this is the type of profile, mm-hmm. and this is why both of these links and Thuram and maybe Kone, more so Thuram, I think, makes a bit more sense to me in that.
Yeah.
That kind of ticks a few of the boxes that we associate with Liverpool players, Liverpool transfers.
I think as well, and I'll bring McAllister into this, there's a personality element to it as well. And I, if you do a bit
having
of...
Having dads who play footy, maybe.
Well, yeah, I didn't even make that connection. But yeah, I think that probably is part of their personality, to be fair. You know, like sort of a comfort in themselves, a steel, a sort of inner belief. And you know, you read about Kevin Thuram. There was a great interview with Jason Burt in the Telegraph just before he made his international debut for France. I would recommend it to read it. He seems like a very mature 22-year-old kid, you know, if you want to call him that. I mean, he's talking about the books he's reading, his love of photography, and you know, he's talking about the history of his name and where that came from, and sort of that, you know, his dad's activism and anti-racism work and things like that. So he's obviously quite a well-rounded individual as well, someone who's got, you know, a good head on his shoulders. And Liverpool, you know, Liverpool tend to do that, don't they? I mean, there's a bit of a buzz phrase at the moment among sort of football executives, you know, no dickheads, I think is the phrase. But Liverpool, I think, have been living that world for a while, haven't they? You look at the players that they brought in, you know, whenever you do your follow up piece after they've signed, a lot of the word you get back is a rock solid character. And you see that with a lot of the players they bought, don't you? You see it with Robertson, you see it with Gini Wijnaldum, you see it with Salah, with Diogo Jota, with Konate, that they all seem to be sort of ready to buy into this kind of, you know, collective, this self-improvement sort of culture, if you want to call it that. And if Liverpool are losing some people who have been quite key to that this summer, James Milner being probably the most important, but even people like Roberto Firmino, who just set high standards in training, having characters who are A, good enough to be part of it, but B, tough enough as well to sort of not just be part of it, but to become central to it, quite would be important. And feels like McAllister has that kind of ability. He's done it with Argentina, he's done it with Brighton. Just reading about him, and listen, I'm just reading an interview, so take that with what it is. But it does feel like someone like Thuram, for a 22-year-old, has got a pretty good handle on who he is, where he wants to go, and what type of person he is. So I think it's... it will be interesting. I don't expect Liverpool to be taking too many gambles in terms of characters. You know, they haven't really ever, have they? You know, like, I can't think of many that they've brought in, probably going back to sort of the Rodgers era, that you thought, ooh, that's a bit of a handful, or, you know, someone that you might have to rein in or get hold of. They've tended to sort of do their homework and get the right kind of person as well as player.
Yeah, we've got a question here from the Discord from Josh Hall. Thanks, Josh. Says, can you see us getting both Manu Kone and Kevin Thuram? And if not, who would your preferred option be? Like, first part's opinion, second part's, well, they both are, but in different ways. But
yeah,
is there a way where Liverpool sign both of these two young aspiring French players? Perhaps, I don't know, one or the other.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think they're going to get McAllister. So if you were talking about getting those three, that's three sort of players that's going to cost, you know, let's just say that the fees that were put in there, you're talking 160 million around seems that for right, three players. It? Yeah, it does, but it also, you know, that leaves you not much wiggle room if you want to bring in a defender or a left back if someone leaves, or, you know, whatever, a goalkeeper potentially. So maybe I'd think two out of those three rather than three. Preferred pick, I couldn't tell you a preferred pick. I couldn't sit and lie and say, oh, I've watched a lot of Thuram and he's this kind of player. I've watched a lot of Kone. I think you've just got to back Liverpool in terms of whatever they do in the market. And in fairness to them, you know, when they have bought a player, generally, you know, you can argue about Carvalho, and I know we'll talk about him later in the show, but you can argue about Darwin. But I think generally Liverpool have got it right when they've decided this is the player we want. I still think there's a very good chance that they get it right with Darwin as well. So I think you've just got to back Liverpool on it. But I would lean towards one or the other if you were talking about it. I'm not convinced they'll get either of them, you know, fully, but I think there's still work to be done on that front. But I would lean towards McAllister plus one, and maybe a different type of player if they were looking at, you know, you could be looking at a free transfer, you could be looking at a much younger player who comes in, you know, just for example, the guy from Bristol City who's been linked, Alex Scott. You know, I could see a world where he comes in as a very young player to be sort of moulded in and come through, you know, a little bit like Bajcetic and that kind of thing. So there's still plenty to do, but I think it'll all become a lot clearer in the next few weeks, definitely.
Yeah, one to keep an eye on. It looks like Kefir and Saram, who knows where that one's going to go, the Kone stuff. We've got yours covered everywhere on Red Men. As soon as anything breaks, anything develops, all that kind of stuff, I promise you, on the YouTube and, of course, on Red Men Plus, we've got you covered. Like I say, if you want to check out those shows in their entirety, then do go over to redmenplus.com. Journo Insight, by the way, will be streamed twice a week now throughout the summer. We're going to do Mondays and we're going to do Thursdays with Neil, so can't wait for those. We've got you, like I say, covered every step of the way. Redmenplus.com. Sign up from as little as a five in a month, I promise you won't regret it. Spoiler alert, if you sign up now, you'll get the Roberto Firmino documentary that is released in about 22, 23 days, something like that, depending on when you're doing it. So yeah, redmenplus.com, get all that great content, get the Bobby Doc that's coming. Red Men is the place to be for your summer transfer action, and I'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.